And I want you to pay close attention to what I say. And I've preached out of this many times before, and I've preached out of it here before. But I want you to pay real close attention. And if you'll listen, I think the Lord will speak to you today. But you got to listen. Look at verse 35 in Luke 18. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And I want you to notice this. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Boy, that would be our testimony. It's not my sermon, but that last verse ought to be our testimony. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. I want you to notice verse 37. In verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Get the picture. Jesus, it's about this time of year, he was headed back to Jerusalem. He knew, the Bible said he'd set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew it was time to be crucified. He knew that was the last trip. Now, this wasn't the first trip he made through Jericho, but he knew it would be the last trip that he would make through Jericho on his way back to Jerusalem to be falsely accused, to be falsely tried, and to be falsely crucified, beaten, spit on, cursed, made fun of, and he knew all that, and yet he was God in the flesh. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. So he knew what was going on in Jericho before he ever got there. Amen. And when he got to Jericho, get a picture in your mind. By now, he's famous. By now, everywhere he goes, people throng him. They're everywhere. They're all over him. You see these political people and all that, and the throng. The movie stars and all, you know, they hate it because they can't even move for the people. And now here he is, and thousands of people. He's walking through Jericho. Jericho's a big city. It's not a little city. And as he goes through there, thousands of people hear about it. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming through town. Jesus, it gets all over town, and thousands are in the street. Remember, these are dust streets, so the dust is flying, you know, and everybody's excited and pushing and shoving, and Jesus comes in the gate of Jericho. When he comes in, they surround him, and they're talking, and everybody wants something. Everybody that's around him wants something. They have desires. They have needs. They have want-tos. And they're all, can you imagine? Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal my daughter. Jesus, heal my son. Jesus, help my financial situation. Jesus, help this. Jesus, help that. And they're all talking at the same time. And there's a poor old blind beggar. He's been sitting there every day, all his life, born blind. Sitting over there, and the way he makes a living, they didn't have welfare, they didn't have food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, Obamacare, American Care. He had a handout. He depended on people to give him a little money, to buy him a little food every day. And he's sitting over there, and here's what they would do. They would say, alms, alms for the blind, alms all day, alms for the blind. And people would walk by and they'd drop a little hay penny in there, a little this, a little that, and that would keep him going. So he's sitting over there in his place. He sat every day, all his life, every day, and he hears this great commotion. and people are talking and people are hollering and feet, because he can't see. And he hears the rustling of people moving around, and he grabs somebody and says, "Hey, what's going on?" And somebody looks at him and says, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." And boy, he's sitting there and he's thinking, now he's heard about this fella. He's heard about him. He's heard that he raised a little girl from the dead. He's heard that he healed the sick. He's heard that he healed the lepers. He heard he healed 10 of them one day. He heard that he's done all kind of things. He's given hearing back to the deaf. He's given sight to the blind. He's removed leprosy and everything else. So he gets this idea. If he can do all that, he can heal me. Man never seen a day in his life. Didn't even know what he was missing. But he wanted his sight. The most important thing in his life at that moment was his sight. So here's what he said. A great theological statement. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now wait a minute, get the picture. All you are around Jesus. All of you is hollering at the same time. There's thousands of you. And he's sitting way over on the wayside, all by himself. And he's hollering, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He is a perfect picture of a sinner. Born helpless, born, we're spiritually blind, born, needing deliverance, needing a spiritual healing. We do. He needed physical healing, and he needed spiritual healing. And he's over there and he's crying out with all his might, and all these people are pushing and shoving. I'm sure some of them's touching Jesus. I'm sure they're pushing and grabbing it. Get the picture in your head. Quit reading the Bible like the newspaper. Read it like the supernatural book it is, and get the picture of this thing. And boy, he's everybody in town knows him. They know he's helpless. They know he can't help himself. And so as you read it, some of them said, "Be quiet. Don't you know who that is?" Sure he did. He called him the son of David. That's the promised one. He recognized him for the one that was promised, that was to come to deliver us from our sins and to take us to heaven when we die and to set up a kingdom on earth. Of course he knew he was talking to Jesus, the son of David. But the Bible says he cried so much the more so. That means he got loud. He got redneck on him. It don't say it, but I imagine he looked at that fellow. If he didn't say nothing, he probably thought it. "I don't care what you say, buddy. I want my sight. You ain't shutting me up. Ain't nobody else shutting me up. I'm down here to get this, and I don't care what nobody else thinks and nobody else says. You better be one to shut up. Jesus, thou son of David." It said he hollered so much more so. Now, I believe Jesus went through there just for him. There's two recordings of blind men there at Jericho, one going in, one coming out. And he healed both of them. I think he knew who he was. I think he knew where he was. And I think he knew what he needed to have done. And I think he went there for that man. And all that other crowd, they were hollering and demanding and begging and screaming and hollering. And he heard that one man. He heard him. The Bible says he heard him. And he said, "Bring him over here." And they brought him over there. And can you imagine the crowd, how astounded they might have been? I was in his ear. And he heard him. I'm somebody. And he heard him. I mean, he don't know what my bank account is, you know. He doesn't know my standing, my position in society. Down at the job, they call me boss. And he heard him. What can he offer? The Bible says, but he heard. Here's a blind man. He's hopeless and helpless, but he heard. Amen. Did you know that where Jesus is, people hear it? Yes, people is looking for him. They hear about it.
Amen.
Did you know that by hearing, a person's life is changed? You know, my life was changed simply because I heard the Word of God.
Amen.
I heard the Lord speak to me that day.
Yes,
I didn't hear it in my ears. I wouldn't have believed it if I had. But deep down in my soul, God Himself visited down in my soul. He said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. And there wasn't nobody else in that room. That church probably had 200 people in it, and I felt like I was the only one. He come for me that day. I don't think nobody else got saved that day. I don't remember real well, but I don't think nobody got saved. I don't think anything else happened. And I went to that church that day, and it probably would have been the last time I'd ever went to church if I hadn't got saved that day. He heard me. Bill, there's a lot of people in there grew up in church, and they were good people, and a lot of them was good Christians, and they all had needs, just like me and you. They had needs. We've all got needs. But God heard me. And when you got saved, God overlooked all those other people, and He heard you.
Amen.
He heard. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Did you know that a church where God works, people hear about it? I told them in Sunday school assembly this morning, this past week, I've been looking for a revival to go to. I'm the preacher. I was looking for somebody, an old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preacher to preach to me. See, I want a preacher to preach to me like I preach to you. And I want him to point at me like I point at you a lot. And boy, I was hungry. I was thirsty. And so I found a camp meeting and revival. I couldn't get to the camp meeting because it was 2.5 hours away. But the revival was in Gaffney. It was only an hour away. And I went up there and, boy, I was just excited. It's going to be good. And I got up there in the pole church. I don't know what it went through, but it's pretty well. You can tell it's been through a lot of problems. And got a good guy preaching. He's a good guy, you know. And the guy that preached is a wonderful man, and I might would even invite him here. And the singer, the man had a family, they sang beautifully, and I might would invite them to come sing. But I sat there, and when it was all over, I thought, really? I don't know what you thought. He went with me Tuesday night. And I thought, well, that was good, but it's not what I was expecting. Maybe I'll come back Thursday night. So I went back Thursday night, and I thought, now this is going to be good. And went back Thursday night, and I left. I'm not talking bad about them. What I was looking for, just I didn't get it. And I went home, and I was kind of discouraged. And I told my wife, and man, sometimes your wife's a lot wiser than you think she is, and I ain't looking at her when I'm saying this. And she said, I don't know what you're looking for.
Come on, man. Yeah.
You already got it. Said, every service we have at our church is like that.
Amen. Yes.
What are you looking for? That's what we got.
Yeah.
What kind of preacher are you looking for? And I sadly, I said, well, you know what? You're right. Because I believe Jesus is here every time I show up. I think He shows up too. And people hear about that. This man went to where he heard that Jesus, when he heard Jesus was there, then it helped his faith. And it moved him, you know. But I got to think about this. If you look at it in verse 41, real quick, that was just my introduction. Look at verse 41. Saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, underline that word Lord. That means master. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Listen, that man had a desire to see. Above all his desires, and the man got hungry just like we do, and he got hungry and cold, and he got thirsty, and he loved people, and he'd been disappointed in everything, I'm sure, just like we are. But he had a desire. He had a deep-hearted desire. There was one thing he wanted above everything else on planet Earth. And the Lord looked at him, and he said, what do you want? He said, that I may receive my sight.
Amen. Yep.
You know, we think riches and fame and fortune, all that stuff satisfies. And the Lord could have given that man riches. He could have given him fame. But he didn't ask for that. The most important thing in his life was that he could see. And listen, the Lord already knew that before he asked him. You know, the Word of God, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God already knows what every one of us desire today. He knows. And listen, this man's most important desire was that he could see. And he believed that if he could just get to Jesus, he'd be all right. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, and they're doing the same thing I did Tuesday night and Thursday night. And they're searching for spiritual satisfaction. And they're looking. The Bible says, if you seek me, you'll find me.
Amen.
And they're looking for the Lord. A lot of them just don't know who it is that they're looking for. They don't know. Listen, they don't know it's Jesus. But they got something deep down in their heart, like a blindness, that they think, boy, if I could just get rid of that, I'd be okay. Now, a lot of them, listen, they don't know that they're spiritually blind because they're spiritually blind. But they know they need something. And that day when you got saved, I got saved, that day we went in there, we did not know what we needed. We just knew we needed something. Hey, we done tried other things like I did this past week and come home empty and unsatisfied and kept looking other places. And then finally one day somebody got us exposed to the Word of God that magnified the Son of God. And we said, we might not have done it that day, but we said, that's what I need right there.
Amen.
This man, the Lord said, what do you desire? He said, that I may receive my sight. You know what? He believed it so much, nobody could stop him. I mean, they said, why don't you be quiet? He's too important for you to talk to. He said, shut your mouth. Got louder. Amen. That's in the original language. You ain't never read that. Shut your mouth. I'm going to get to him. I'll scream. I'll holler. I'll do whatever I got to do. But I'm going to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get some healing. And he was not ashamed to get to Jesus, whatever it took. Now let me tell y'all something. People will hinder you from getting to the Lord. Bad people will hinder you because they don't want you to be happy. They want misery loves company. Amen? Don't let them fool you. They don't love you. They love your company because they're miserable and they want somebody else's shoulder to cry on. Amen? Amen. But now good people will hinder you. Good people. You'll look at your kids sometimes and they'll say, you know, I probably need to be saved. They might be 8, 10 years old, and you look at them and you'll say, no, you're a good little boy. No, he's not. He's a born sinner. He needs to be saved. And if the Holy Spirit has revealed to him his need of a Savior, let him go. Sometimes people say, you're a good old boy. You don't have to worry about that. If anybody's going to heaven, you'll go. You need to get away from that crowd, run to Jesus as quick as you can, because there ain't no good old boys in heaven. Amen? How many times has some mother discouraged their little child because they thought they were too young to be saved? And years later regretted that they ever discouraged them. How many times has some wife discouraged a husband from walking down the aisle and making a public profession in Jesus Christ and receiving him? She said, no, honey, you're a good man. You just need a program. You need to go to AA. You need to go to NA. You need a group. No, you need Jesus. And look, if you're the wife of a man who's not saved and he wants to get saved, you need to get out of the way. I tell you the real problem. You're afraid if he gets saved, he'll be 100% right. You don't want him 100% right because you got some little things in your life that you know the Lord ain't pleased with right now. And if he gets right... I had a woman tell me and my pastor that one time was trying to lead her husband to the Lord, an old friend of mine, and she came in and he said, what would you think about him getting saved? She said, I don't want him to get saved. Because if he gets saved, his life's going to change and I have changed my life. As far as I know, he never got saved. As far as I know, she never got saved. This man didn't care what people thought. You young people, you're scared to death if you call on Jesus with all your might and really get born again. You're scared when you go back down there at the school, they're going to make fun of you and they're going to laugh at you. I got news from you. If you get thoroughly right with God, they'll avoid you like the plague. You'll never hear it. They'll laugh, but you won't ever hear it. You'll lose every friend you got. Amen? How many of us lost every friend we ever had, so-called, when we got saved? Amen. When he walks in, they walk out. You ain't got to worry about that. Get right with God. Get right with God, young people. And by the way, I'd rather have a friend that's sticking closer than a brother than I would that crowd you're running with. Amen? Amen. Lady Gaga, what's she got to be Gaga about? He didn't care what people said. Nobody could stop him. And he shouted at them so much more so.
Amen. Yes, sir.
See, what some people's waiting on the service to be just right and the lights to be dim and the music to be real sweet and where nobody's looking and they can slip down the aisle real quietly hoping don't nobody see them and get down on the altar and ask the Lord to save them and nobody know it. There's no such thing as a secret Christian. And when you got saved, you didn't have to tell a lot of them. Before you got there, they already knew it. He come to my house late one night when he was a young man and told me he got saved. He didn't have to tell everybody. When he told me, I knew everybody else already knew. Let me tell you something. If you want to get saved, all the devils in hell won't stop you.
Amen.
That day I stood in that pew, about six pew on the left hand side, East Side Baptist Church, on the 300th verse of Just As I Am. I'm standing there, Lord, I'm crying. I said, Lord, if you help me move that foot, I'll go. Man, I'm down that aisle. And I didn't care what nobody thought about me.
Amen.
I wanted, my desire was I could see spiritually and be born again. And you could talk about me and make fun of me. I didn't care. It was time to get it right and get my sight. Amen. And then I want you to notice this. Verse 42, the Bible says that he received his sight. Jesus said to him, receive thy sight. Receive thy sight. Thy faith is healed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what it's saying? That man still couldn't see. But by faith, he thought if I'll just ask him, he'll give it to me. He'd never seen his face. He'd never seen the face of the Lord. He'd never seen those hands that were about to have a nail drove through them. He'd never seen those feet that was about to have nails. He'd never seen that beautiful face that Jesus had. But by faith, blindly, not ever seeing, he received him as his Savior.
Amen.
Now, is that not what we did the day we got saved?
Yes.
People say, how do you believe in somebody you'd never seen? I said, I saw him with my heart. I saw him with my soul. I saw him with my mind's eye. And I can see him now, high and lifted up, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for me. That's by faith. You say, well, how do you get that faith? You can't work it up. You can't study it up. You can't preach it up. By faith. Faith is given. It's a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not a word, but it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to go to heaven and say, boy, I saw it, I did it, I'm wonderful. They're all going to say, I was blind, and I was crippled, and I was lame, but he saved me and established my going forth, and he gave me the sight that I could believe. Faith's a gift. It ain't something you work up. Did you know people get saved the same way today that they did that day? He said, if thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus. That man that day in his heart made a decision. This is my last chance. This is my only hope. I'm going to him. In his heart, he made that decision. Now, a lot of people walk the church aisle. And they'll fill out some little stinking card, you know. And Yeah, got saved. Yeah, I need to be baptized. Yeah, I'm going to join the church. That don't save you. That don't save you no more than baptism does. People get baptized. They're not saved. It's when by faith you see yourself as a blind beggar, and by faith you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, save me. And in your heart, He'll put the faith that you need to be saved. You ain't got it yet. He'll give it to you. See? Now that's what this blind man did. And then I want you to know this. Look in verse 43. 2 minutes to 12. The Methodists are about winding up. Verse 43. The Presbyterians quit a long time ago. Verse 43. The Church of God's on point number two. Verse 43. And immediately he received his sight. Did you notice the word? Immediately. Now you watch these TV preachers, you know, and they claim to have all this power and healing, all this stuff. And send us $50, we'll send you a rag and we'll pray over it and all this junk, you know. They just want your money. You ain't never seen a real blind man walk across one of those stages and the man say, receive thy sight, and immediately they walk off seeing 20/20. 20/20. And I'm sure it's happened many times to many people over the ages. People have been healed. I know they have. We've seen people healed right here. But I want you to notice in this, because of what it represents, it says immediately he received his eyesight. Immediately. Amen. Did you know he didn't have to go to a class in Sunday school to learn how to see? Did you know the preacher didn't have to go to his house and encourage him in seeing? Did you know there was no test, there was no textbooks to learn how this stuff? It just says immediately he received his sight. And when you get saved, let me tell you something. We'll teach you the Bible, but you won't need to go to a class to know you're saved. Immediately you'll know your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Immediately your eyes will be open and you'll see things a different way. Immediately. And you'll say, I once was blind, but now I see. Amen? Immediately. We don't work this stuff up, Billy. It's real. Amen? Immediately. And then I want you to, look, I want you to notice this. Not only that, but if you look back at that verse, I want you to see it. Go back and look at it. And followed him. Same word. Goes with that. Immediately. Same thought, all in one sentence. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. A follower is a disciple of Jesus Christ. One that follows his teachings, we follow him. Amen? We sing that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I've been preaching since 1981. I've seen a lot of them come down the aisle. I've prayed with a lot of people in their house. I've preached in jails and hospitals and nursing homes and Army Reserve and National Guard, churches, everywhere. And I've seen a lot of people come forward professing faith in Christ that never followed Christ.
Come on now.
Brother Billy, you know what it tells me? They never got in the first place. The first question some people ask me when I go visit them, try to witness to them, they'll say, well, what about backslide? If you backslide, can you just walk away from the Lord and then go to hell? I said, let me tell you something. The problem is not with backsliding. The problem is most of those people never slid forward in the first place. They've never been followers of Christ. And look, it says immediately he became. That means immediately he left his little corner over there he'd been sitting in all his life, and now he's right up next to the Lord following him. And then I want you to notice that next. Glorifying God. Ron, go bump the air conditioner up one point. I see women all wrapped up in here. Glorifying God. You know what that means? Whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. The man's life was changed. And everything he did from then on
was for the glory of God. You know, Paul says, we died. When you got born again, I don't care if you wasn't 5 years old, 10 years old, 15, 55. When you were born again, Brother Bud, Bud was supposed to die. Crucify yourself. And we laid down, we died that day, and we got up a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all the old things pass away. All things become new. Boy, I come out of that church that day. Billy, I'm sure you did the same. The sky was bluer. I didn't know the sky was that blue. And those little puffy clouds was prettier. The sunshine was brighter. The trees was greener. Amen. Man, I was so happy. I loved my wife like I'd never loved her. I loved my children like I'd never loved them. I love that old fat preacher putting his big fat finger in my face preaching at me. I love that man. Amen. I became a follower of Christ, and now our lives are supposed to glorify God, and we're still telling this man's story today. What are they going to tell about you? Now, I tell people, y'all have heard before, your funeral will prove what you really was. I don't have to preach your funeral. You're doing that right now. I've got a funeral coming up pretty soon. And I told the man's son the other day, I said, this was a good man. And he was asking me, you know, things I was going to say. And I said, I'm not going to preach his funeral. He's already preached his funeral. I'm going to try to comfort the ones that's left behind. But you're preaching your funeral right now. And this man, we're still preaching his. And he, do you know what his testimony was? He received his sight immediately. He followed Christ immediately. And he glorified God immediately. You know, he didn't have to go to a class to learn how to say amen. You know, they didn't have classes on how to say glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Appalachian American. Amen. Is that not right? Then I want you to notice this now. You still with me? Say amen. He wasn't ashamed. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That means the right, the authority. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you know I've got the power of God in me now? The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection power that raised him from the dead is now in me and you as believers. And we have no right to cower in a corner somewhere or apologize for that. We are children of God, adopted by the Father, taken care of by the Holy Spirit, empowered by him. And we have no reason to be ashamed. Amen. Well, you want them Bible thumpers. Amen. Well, you're one of those Jesus freaks. Amen. Well, you're one of those fanatics. Got it? Got it? I'd rather be a fanatic about Jesus than, I don't even know football players' names, and don't tell me none. I'd rather be a fanatic about Jesus than I would some fornicating basketball player that brags on his 300 conquests of women. Amen. Hey, I'd rather be, now this is going to get real hard. I'd rather be a fanatic about Jesus than Darlington.
Amen. Come on.
Or Rockingham. Yeah. Or for those you don't know, NASCAR. Yeah. And I don't watch wrestling. If you watch wrestling, you need mental help. So I certainly don't know them. Amen. Not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And you know what? You ought not go anywhere where you would be ashamed. I had this preacher. Matter of fact, he's on Facebook and he puts all kinds of stuff on church happenings in Rock Hill. And he told his congregation, and they filmed it and I heard it. He goes to bars and stuff and sits there and says he drinks Coca-Cola to be a witness to those people. I said, that's like going to hell and sitting in the fire and saying, God has delivered me. The man's a fool.
Amen.
That's right. He is. He's not a witness to that. If he is a witness to that, the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. Let them see your light shine outside of the dark, not try to go back in it.
Amen.
I have a kind of funny feeling there's some enjoyment going on there, don't you? Well, preacher, I wouldn't say that. That's why he didn't call you to preach.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, you're mean. No, I'm not ashamed. Well, you're bragging. No, I only brag on him.
Amen.
Now listen, since I've been saved, and I'm sure after the blind man got saved, and he got saved and healed at the same time, I want you to know that. My faith has made the whole. Since I've been saved, I've been ashamed of me. Don't sit there. You ain't got no halo.
Amen.
You don't have no angel's wings.
Yeah.
Since we've been saved, there's been times we've all been ashamed of ourselves. But if you're a follower of Christ and you're glorifying Him, you've never been ashamed of Him.
Amen?
Help me out. Amen? I want at least an amen pew over here, okay? And then what happened in verse 42, he said, thy faith has saved thee. In verse 43, he was healed immediately, an instant work of God. And then last but not least, in verse 43, he glorified God. Turn to Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's making you a new creature. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's resurrecting your dead spirit. Now look, I wrote myself a note up here. Before you preach, remember you're on the internet. We don't have, I started to say ain't. I mean, my wife and daughter are teachers. I have to be careful. We do not have any right to brag. We are no better than anyone else on planet Earth. Did you see that? By grace. That word means undeserved favor. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. No more than that blind man deserve it. There was nothing he could do to deserve it. And there's nothing you can do to deserve it. You can get baptized till you wrinkle like a prune, still die and go to hell. It's not going to make you worthy. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You can quit drinking liquor. You can quit smoking dope. You can quit running around with the wrong crowd and still die and go to hell. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Those things you ought not do, but that's not what saves you.
Amen.
If you're right with God, you won't do those things. But that's because of Him, not you. He'll change you want to. You won't want to no more. Not by works of righteousness. I'm no better than anybody else. I ain't going to tell you much about it, but there's a little boy in this neighborhood I've got such a burden for him. And he's about 10 years old. And he runs around this neighborhood. Little white boy. They give him a terrible haircut. But that's what made me notice him. But he runs around the crowd. It just made my heart. He just so much similar to what I had. And the other day I went and got some, I can't tell you a lot because we're all on the internet, but don't have a daddy living there. But doors tore off the hinges, you know, and windows busted out in the house and all kinds of stuff in the yard. And so the other day, I went and got him some cereal, and I got him some sweet cakes, and I got him some juice, and I got him some milk. And I took it to his house, and I said, son, I hadn't seen you around lately, and I wanted to give you this. And I doubt there's hardly anything in that house from the looks of the house. And he was so happy. He was so happy, and I give him that. And I felt so good about it. I come down here to church. Y'all left a bunch of them 2-liter drinks you bring down here, but you won't drink them. So I took them to him.
Amen.
And he was so happy. And they came through the yard the other day, him and those little old boys he runs with, and they were going to play basketball. And I was in there doing something, and I heard somebody in the church, and he come in the door. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Hey." I said, "When you coming in church?" He said, "I'm coming Sunday." Of course, he's 10 years old. He don't keep a clock. He don't keep a schedule. If somebody don't wake him up and get him ready, he's probably not going to do it. But I said, "Well, good, son. I love you. I've been praying for you." And he said, "Can I have some water?" I said, "Sure." So he got a bottle of water. He run out the door. He come back. He said, "My friends want water too." So I gave him all bottles of water, you know. And I thought, they need water. They need the water of life. Little old boy, he's blind, but he's a little old boy. And I think there's all kind of people around this world like that. There's all kind of children. I used to be one. And he's thirsty and he don't know what he wants and he's not getting it at home and mama ain't going to give it to him. She's too busy with other things. And he don't have any brothers or sisters. And he's running, just running all over, just running. Nobody knows where he's at. Nobody knows what he's doing. And he's like that blind man sitting on the side. And he needs healing spiritually. He needs healing physically. His house needs healing. His mama needs healing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Spiritually? Spiritually. It made me feel good to give him that little bit of milk, no cereal, a loaf of bread. And I think I put everybody eats bologna. I think I put some bologna in there. I had two bags of groceries. And I said, "Go in there, son, put them in the refrigerator." It was 2 gallons of milk. And those little boys helped him. I have a suspicion they helped him a lot. But here, listen to this and I'll close. Now, you may be in that same condition spiritually today. I was. But if you're not, you know what? Some of you have people living in your house never even go to church. They never open a Bible. They never pray. And you say, "Well, I get on them all the time. I get on them and I fuss at them." Look, fussing ain't going to do it. Fussing ain't going to do it. They're spiritually blind and they don't see what you see. That's like trying to describe a sunrise to a blind person. They can't see it. Here's what you do. They have to hear what Jesus did.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, since you live in the house with them, they're going to have to hear it from you. And you're going to have to look at them one day and you're going to have to say, "Baby," you can call everybody baby. I was at Ollie's the other day. The cashier called me baby and honey. You look at him, you say, "Baby, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you." And, you know, one day I got saved. And I asked Jesus to save me and he gave me my sight. And I see things differently now. I say, "But you have no desire for church. You have no desire for the things of God. You have no spiritual sight. And it appears to me you're blind. Would you just come to church with me Sunday and just sit there? I'm not asking you to do nothing. Would you just come and see it? And maybe you'll get a glimpse of what I've got." Am I right? Some of y'all work with people. And they cuss and fuss and go on. And you stay mad at them. But you know what's wrong? They're just blind.
Amen.
Maybe God put you there as an example of what sight really is. Maybe today you come here and you're like, you say, "I'm like this man. I don't know where I'm going. Don't know what's going on the rest of my life. Don't know where I'm going to go when I die." Well, you know what? You need a Savior. You need to meet the same Lord that he and I and others have met. And here's what all you have to do. You don't have to be a theologian. I didn't know what a virgin birth was when I got saved. I didn't know about the virgin birth of Christ. I didn't know about the bodily atonement. I didn't know about the blood atonement. I didn't know all those things. Here's all I knew. According to God's word, you're a sinner. And sinners can't go to heaven. And you're going to hell. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. And he sent his son to die in your place so you wouldn't have to go to hell. And Bill, that's all I knew. And I went down there that day and I said, "God, that's me. I'm the one that's blind. I'm the one that's deaf. I'm the one. You're talking about me, Lord. And would you save me? That's all that man knew. He's blind. He needed a Savior. If you're not saved today, all you need to know is, not are the Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, right? All you need to know is there's a Savior. And if I can just get to Him, I'll be all right. And then you know what? I wouldn't let nobody get in my way.
That's right.
I've heard people say, well, I would have come down, but I'd had to ask these people to move. Push them.
Amen.
Get them out of the way. I wouldn't let nobody hinder me. Hey, and some of you, you think, well, if I do that, I'm going to lose all my friends and my family and my job. Lose it. Lose it. It's worth it. I'm telling you, it's worth it. And He'll give you more than you ever bargained for.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God.